My sermon today will be short because I'm teaching throughout. But my prayer is that even though it's short, that it would really catch our hearts today. I spent the last 2 days with an incredible group of people who have a healing ministry. They have picked up the torch from an incredible woman of God who actually was an Anglican as well, named Leanne Payne. She's passed away now, but these are the people who have kind of picked up the torch and are carrying on her ministry, and was able to spend time with them, and it was so refreshing to be with a group of people who are so passionate and sure and excited about this simple fact that God is not dead, he's alive, and he is able and ready and wanting to move in your life in transformative ways. That's simple. But it is, what a powerful thing to live as if, to show up believing, right? And they, boy, did these people do that. It was so encouraging to me, so refreshing. I actually, many of them are in Anglican churches just south of us in Washington, and so my hope is you'll actually get to meet some of them in the time ahead, because they were sure an encouragement to me. The reflection that I want to come to today is just building off my sermon last week, which is on the cross. And I want us to just to be able to, for a moment, reflect on the cross, but particularly on the power of the cross. On the reality of what happened at the cross and what it means then for us in our lives, and particularly in these places where we stand in need of transformation, we stand in need of change. Parts of our heart that feel kind of dead, parts of our heart that feel kind of beat up, parts of our heart that are just weighed down by shame or feeling the grand effects of failure or relationship breakdown. These are all very real things, places of grief, of loss, of, you know, we could go on and on and on. The people, humanity has known for since Adam and Eve that life's not easy, right? And it throws punches, and we're impacted by that. One of the things that Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, was this statement. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So this is an incredible declaration. And Jesus, as he walked on earth, one of the things he said was, the thief, speaking very clearly of the devil, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy what? Life. Right? Not just your money, you know, not just your bicycle. Like, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy your very life. To steal from you that which was birthed in you, created in you when God made you. But here's the good news. I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life, and life to the full. Life abundant. I think what Jesus is getting at is that he's come that we might have life as God had intended us to have it when he made us. And so one of the things about that is, in order for that to happen, in order for that to be the truth or the case for most of us, well, for all of us if we're honest, is that there is a work that Jesus needs to do where pieces or dynamics of that life have been killed, destroyed, stolen. Where the enemy actually has had his way. And there's parts of us that aren't living life and life to the full. Jesus comes to save. He comes to set us back in that life, to heal, to bring freedom, forgiveness. And so God invites you today and every day into life and into life to the full. And so no matter where you are and no matter how your life feels or looks right now, you can be confident in this, that the God who created you stands near, comes close, and would want you to understand something very clearly. You are invited to come up out of death and into life. Usually when we're in those places, it can feel a little bit heavy. It can feel overwhelming, and sometimes it can actually take over. Because it feels impossible. We get into these spaces and we're so impacted by them, and for maybe long seasons, we've done everything we could think of, everything we could try to get better, to break addictions, to walk free from sin, to mend relationships, to fit, and we get discouraged, right? And so Jesus, beautiful. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, get over it. Like, finally get serious and get on with it. That's not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is seen when he takes on flesh and he comes right down into the darkness. John talks about it this way. Like light, he came down into the darkness. And then we watch as the light overcomes the darkness, not the other way around. And key to it is Jesus and what he has done and what only he could do. He invites us into life and life to the full. And honestly, we were created for that. When God made you, he intended for you to live in the fullness of the life that he created. And so he goes to work, and he has made a way for us to be, this is a kind of a theological, biblical word. If you're not around church a lot, you might not use it a lot. In this context, he's come to redeem. He's a God of redemption. He comes to the parts of our lives that are broken, hurting, lost, numb, tired, afraid. And he doesn't work like a magic eraser to wipe those things out. He does even better. He doesn't come in and take parts of our life and kind of like give us some sort of amnesia. I remember being at a ski hill one time when a buddy went down super hard and he popped his shoulder out. And then after that, they have to get him from where he was to the med tent or whatever. And so they put him on a toboggan and ski, dragging him along as he just like winces the whole way, you know, just terrible. And the doctor who came in said to him, we're going to put your shoulder back in, but right before I do, I'm going to give you this little shot. And he does this thing with this really weird looking white stuff. And he says, and the best part is that when I'm done, you won't remember a thing. And I don't know what this stuff is. It's kind of scary, honestly. My friend said afterwards, I wish they hadn't given me that. That's trippy. But he gave it to them and put his arm back in. And when he finally came back to himself, driving him home was funny because he was so out of it. When he finally came back too, he didn't even remember the injury, right? It like wiped it out. I'll tell you, some of us, we think we'd like God to do that with the painful parts of our lives. Especially the parts where we have really hurt people or where they've really hurt us. And I've heard people even pray it. I felt it in my own life. Lord, would you just erase it? It's too heavy. It's too painful. And what I've learned is that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to do something even better. He wants to come to those places and bring healing. Bring restoration. Put your shoulder back in place. But then he wants to do what the Bible calls redemption. He wants to redeem those parts of your story. And it's incredible when God does that, because suddenly the most painful parts of our story become some of the most beautiful parts of our story. The places where we've most clearly seen Jesus. One of the greatest examples of this is the cross. It's interesting to stop and to think that now we wear crosses in beautiful jewelry around our necks and tattoo them on our forearms. And the cross is an awful thing. Incredibly dark. A cursed thing, right? But as Jesus goes to the cross, and he triumphs over all of what makes it so dark and so awful and so evil, it actually becomes a thing of beauty. And now to look upon the cross is to recognize the death, but the triumph over death, right? It's to remember the power of God over the places of our life that stand in need of healing, and that, friends, is redemption. He's redeemed it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says this, "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgression committed under the old covenant." The death of Jesus, redeeming. That as he goes to the cross, he takes our sin, and in fact, the sin of the whole world, upon his sinless self. And when he dies, all of that goes into the grave with him. And when he rises to eternal life, he rises in victory over all of it. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why we worship. And so we are invited to bring our sin, to bring our shame, to bring our trauma, to bring every broken part of this life, and not to leave it in the car, not to hide it from the people beside you, but to bring it confidently to the throne of grace, there to receive mercy, there to receive healing, to bring those things to Jesus. How? Friends, how? How do I bring things that have plagued me, things that have felt at times so shameful that the last thing I honestly want to do is to let anyone, let alone Jesus, see them? How? I think the key to it is the cross. In the gospel reading that we read together today, Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple of mine, if you want to be a follower of me, then you need to take up your cross and follow. What he's doing is he's inviting us to join him at the cross, to come into this place where rather than stay arm's length from the cross, to kind of push it away and try and even kind of put it in a prettier place than it should be, but to recognize the reality of the cross and to let our lives come and be joined to Christ there. So to come with your sin, to come with your shame, to come with your brokenness, and to come to the cross. That there at the cross, there is power to save. There is power to heal. So every time that we cross ourselves, you start to see the incredibly powerful declaration that you are coming into union with, that you're making. That here I am, a broken man, doing the best I can, and it doesn't close to measure up. But in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I have new life. The old has been made new. Right? Romans chapter 6, in closing, says this, if I've been united with him in a death like his, I will certainly be united with him in resurrection life. That when we come to the cross, we are united with Christ, and those things that need to go down into the grave can go down into the grave. But the good news is that I won't stay there. My story doesn't end there because his story didn't end there. And so when I'm united with him there, I remain united with him as he then redeems and raises me up in new life in the very places that for so long had felt like death. Let's pray. God, we take a moment right now to fix our eyes on Jesus, to bring our lives, our stories, our hearts, our minds to the foot of the cross. For some of us, that's hard because we feel like we've been there so many times. Pray that by your Spirit, that all shame, anything that would hinder us or keep us from the cross today, would just be broken in the name of Jesus. For some of us, it's a completely new idea. And as our hearts stir, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us and lead us, help us, to bring our lives and to lay them down at the cross take up our cross and there receive the incredibly good news of Jesus. That he's a creative God with the power of creation and of resurrection and who wants to move in these parts of our lives. So God, here we are. We just come. And we come boldly because of who Jesus is and because of what he's done on the cross.